I have heard, I started here in August, but I have heard through the months I've been here how perfect Bryce Wyatt is. And I'm going to put him through his paces because I sent him the slides that he might show. Are you going to show them? You got them? I sent them to him this morning about 9 o'clock. That was kind of mean, but that's what I did. And he said, no problem. So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to be nice to him. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the work of Bryce's fingers and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As we gather today at the Lord's table, as I have prepared for this service of worship, I have found myself thinking about some specific people in need, needs for which I and you are in prayer. For example, I know of 3 people under hospice care facing the end of life. For them, the promise of Christ that this life is not the only dimension of life. That's the promise of Christ. That when we finally close our eyes to this world, we will open those eyes to the glorious life we will know in paradise in the presence of God, the Creator. I know of several people that we love who are recovering from injuries or looking ahead to surgeries. I know how fragile they are feeling. I think of a person who needs to move from her independent apartment to an apartment in assisted living. She is resisting her loss of independence. She is resisting the admission that she needs care from others, she who has been so self-reliant throughout her life. You know people who have been through those decisions. I know of people who are in the wrong job, who are yearning for full-time instead of part-time, for a position with benefits, for a work that will provide for the needs of their families or for themselves, for work that will offer them a chance for advancement in a field in which they've been prepared. I know, and you know, of people whose relationships are in crisis, and each day they pray for better communication, for more kindness, for deeper understanding, and for courage to move forward. And now, as summer has come, bringing to the end a school year and also the beginning of hurricane season, summer is a mixed bag, isn't it? There are challenges for parents who worry about their children, who have increased concerns related to food and travel and safety, just as we all have increasing concerns about wind and weather. And with needs like these, needs in mind, we turn to this strong passage in 2 Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul, who was so well aware of his own weaknesses and challenges, and yet in spite of his weaknesses, Paul preached this strong message of Jesus Christ, of salvation for those who believe, of eternal life for all who are saved in the name of Jesus. So look how Paul says it. We have this treasure in clay jars, or in the language of the King James, in which I learned it, and perhaps you did, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. And notice the 2 things Paul asserts here. First, I love this, Paul talks about the treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But don't we love that word, treasure? It brings to mind something special, something valuable, something precious, maybe unusual and certainly surprising. Paul reminds us that eternal life is the treasure of Christ. The surprising gift that transcends what others can have or know. But second, Paul says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in clay jars, in fragile containers. And it's just like all the concerns that I listed a moment ago, people struggling with issues that make our lives feel so fragile. So let's talk about clay jars a bit. We generally think about clay pots as fragile, as easily broken. But remember how Jeremiah bought a plot of ground and God instructed him to put the deed in a clay jar. Bryce will show us this picture. Look at those clay jars and scrolls that are put in those jars. Back in those days, clay jars were the strongest containers available. They were impermeable to weather and the passage of time. That's where many ancient scrolls have been found. You remember hearing about the Dead Sea Scrolls? They were found in the 1940s. They were found in large clay containers, and they had been stored away, preserved for thousands of years, still at least partially readable, and they have given us priceless insights into the earliest Bible manuscripts. Jars are also used, clay or otherwise, to save money. You know, you can put money in a jar for a rainy day and then bring it up here for 3 cents a meal offering, of course. My son Seth, when he got his first apartment, had a plastic Coke bottle shaped like a Coke bottle. It was about this big, and he had put his change instead of in his pocket. He dropped it in the bottle, and we were trying to say, what do you want to do with all these? So Harry said, I'll buy the change from you. I'll take it. I'll use it. It was about $80. $80 worth of coins. Lots of times people will save their change and then use it for something special, something they've saved for, or maybe even a trip they want to make. Clay jars. Paul tells us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a treasure which we have in earthen vessels. I think I have another picture of some clay jars. These were found in Spain. There were tons. They were doing some road work, some construction in Spain, and found jars of ancient coins, tons of it from thousands of years ago. Paul tells us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a treasure which we have in earthen vessel, in clay jars, and it's our task to share this gospel of Jesus Christ, to value it in ourselves and to help others in the world to want it too. Paul is talking to us about our fragility as people of the flesh. He speaks of his own challenges, saying that he's been afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul sure had a hard time of it. But the truth is that we do also at times have difficulties that we have to face and live with. And hopefully we are not crushed, not driven to despair, not forsaken, not destroyed. So that's what I've been thinking about recently in my prayers for others who are facing such difficulties, people sick or injured or struggling with the challenges of life and of faith. But then I was reminded of this amazing story that I asked Beth to read to you, the story from Gideon and his army. When I handed it to her and said, I need you to read this, she said, oh, I've been just reading about this in my Bible. Sometimes God does that. Just puts things together for us, right? So this was a story of a battle between Israel and the Midianites of Jezreel. At God's instruction, 300 men were chosen out of the army. They each take a trumpet in one hand and a clay pitcher in the other hand, and it has a torch in it, a lamp in it, in the pitcher. At a signal, as they approach the enemy camp, they are to blow their trumpets. You know, you can imagine the sound, 300 trumpets. Do, 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 and they say, you know, and then they haul out, you know, for God and for Gideon, right? And then they throw down the pitcher, holding on to the torch, and raise the torch up. Look at that. Imagine that, spread out with 300 torches. So what happens? The great host of the Midianites, they're waking out of a sound sleep in their tents at the crash of all this pottery. They see the sudden glare of 300 lamps, and they think an overwhelming foe has attacked them, and in panic, they start to run, but they cut themselves on all these shards of broken pottery. And the victory is won. What a fascinating story. But think about it. Clay jars being broken to release light and win a battle. And those elements, the broken clay and the light, are right here in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Here's what Paul writes. It is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, in earthen vessels, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Any power we have to bring light to the world comes from God, and not from us. We have the treasure. That's the point Paul is making. We know the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that light, that power is life-giving for us. It gives us healing. It gives us peace. It calls us forth to serve Christ in others. It calls us forth to live as free and forgiven people, people who have hope. And we want that blessing for others, for everyone, for the world. I like how in Gideon's army, those broken jars let the light of the torches shine forth. And so like that, we, fragile as we are, so easily afraid, so easily hurt or broken, we are those clay jars, you see. But we hold something precious in ourselves, that treasure, that light-giving, life-giving treasure that is, in fact, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the promise of abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that they may have life and have it in abundance." So we might be fragile, breakable. We are unable to do impressive things on our own, and yet we are entrusted to be the vessels in which the news of Christ has been stored, like those lights in those clay jars, through which that news is offered to the world. And we may be the vessels that bring life and light to the darkness of the world because our mighty God can and does work through us. I know that's scary. It's scary because we are fragile, scary because the church is fragile. But we are coming to see and know that, like those earthen vessels, those clay jars, we may be, or at least we may feel, broken ourselves at times. But if we are like the clay vessels in the army of Gideon, that's the way the light will be able to shine through. Once the jar is broken and the light can emerge. So here's something else for us to remember. I found this beautiful saying from a guy named Vance Havner. God uses broken things because it takes broken soil to produce a crop. It takes broken clouds to give rain. It takes broken grains to make bread, and broken bread to give strength. God uses broken things. So is it scary to be broken this way? Sure it is. None of us wants to be broken, except maybe Abby, who wants to be the blue. She's the one who broke that blue piece and put it in the box. Except David said, no, she didn't. Get it right. But it's scary to be broken. It's painful. It's in some ways agonizing. But it is my hope that the light of Christ will be released from the clay jars, the earthen vessels, and would reveal through us, in God's power and grace, the truth of life and forgiveness and peace, the truth of eternal life. After all, we know that Jesus let himself be broken so that new life could begin, so that the Spirit could come. He was broken for us. And we are called to be broken for others and for the world, broken to reveal the treasure of eternal life, broken to reveal the love of God in the world around us. Let us pray.